What's up, everybody? It's just me and Martin today. We're talking NBA Finals, more NBA Finals, more NBA Finals, and nothing else. That's it.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
What up, everybody? How's it going? Welcome to BHL Sports Weekly. It's just me and Martin tonight. We're here for your viewing pleasure. We're going to be talking a lot about the NBA Finals, as you can tell by the cold open. I am Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Josh_Rodriguez_. I got Martin with me. Where can they find you?
Martin Weiss. You can find me at _MartinWeiss. Unlike Josh, just one underscore, not
just
two.
Just one.
You know, two underscores, overdoing it.
That's right.
In my opinion.
The song is dedicated to me and Martin instead of Ashton Martin music. It's Josh and Martin. I'm pretty corny, but that's okay. You're going to have to deal with it. Martin, game three yesterday. I thought we were going to have a series, man. I thought we were going to have a series.
You know, I was on the phone in the fourth quarter, with the 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I didn't realize at the time, wow, Cleveland's gone. I felt 0 for 4, then I felt 0 for 5, and then, I don't know, it kind of eliminated out of my head, and I was like, why isn't LeBron closing out? What is he doing? But, no, the thing about yesterday was, you're never going to have a perfect game.
Right.
And no team will ever play a perfect game. But that was as close to a perfect game as Cleveland is going to get in this series. And for them to lose that game, the way it lost, it's a gentleman's sweep at best.
You think so?
I think now it's just going to be a straight sweep. The gentleman's sweep was supposed to happen yesterday.
Yeah.
They should have won yesterday.
I agree.
And, it's crazy when you think about it. When you think about how LeBron sat out for literally less than 3 minutes of game time.
Yep.
And in that 3 minutes, the Cavs were minus 11.
I think it was minus 12, actually.
Minus 12. Yeah. In less than 3 minutes of game time.
He finished plus 7. 46 minutes plus 7. 2 minutes minus 12.
46 minutes plus 7, and they lost by what?
Five. Yeah.
that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But I guess when you look at the other side, you see, literally the dream team.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. That's literally the dream team.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is.
Literally.
That's not exaggeration.
It's literally the dream team. When I said it, I was thinking 92 dream team, but no.
Yeah.
Four of these guys were in the Olympics last year.
Yeah.
Or three. Did Steph not play? Steph didn't play, but
wasn't Andre Iguodala an Olympian at one point too?
He was, but not last year.
But I'm just saying, he's still an Olympian.
Basically, yes. I mean, obviously, the best players in the world are in Golden State.
Yeah. So how much do you put on LeBron James not scoring the basketball late in the game, or just his lack of efficiency in the fourth quarter? A lot of people are getting on him because he's playing well in the first half of these games in the series, but fourth quarter comes around and he's just not the same LeBron. Is that fatigue?
I think that's been the knock on LeBron his whole career.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit an overrated knock, though. He has come through in the fourth. I mean, he's not Kobe or Jordan in the fourth, but he does come through.
But the thing is, it's like when you're debating the Hall of Fame. You're not debating the Hall of Very Good.
Right.
We're talking about the Hall of Fame, the greats. Like, LeBron's one of the all-time greats, obviously. But outside of the free throw shooting, you say, is obviously not something that he's the best at.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't. I don't think he's ever shot over 75% throughout a season.
Right.
You saw that. But then if you look at his fourth quarter numbers, just consistently they go down. Which, that's where most of the people who are critics of LeBron will say, in the fourth he melts, in the fourth he goes away. And in this series, in the final so far in three games, he's only scored 11 points
it's
in the
crazy.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And see, I'm not one. I don't like to just take pot shots at LeBron for no reason, because that's a very cottage industry in this business. But it just, for me, when you see a guy who can go out the first half and dominate, and then the third quarter dominate, and then when you see the last 6 minutes of the game, and it's not it the way he plays to me, it changes in the towards
you think
the end.
He becomes
of games.
More passive.
Yes, I would say my first thought is in the first two quarters he's more aggressive.
Right.
So by definition he'd be more passive, okay. But it's not like he's passing off. I think he's more aggressive looking for his shot.
Okay.
In the first half. He doesn't have any moves whatsoever. So when he comes down and busts that spin move, he's serious.
Right.
And he doesn't have a crossover. He doesn't have anything. When he comes out and he hits that spin back to the middle, LeBron means business.
Yeah.
And he came out game two in the first half and did that. And game three in the first half, he started doing that. And then game four, he's driving the lane. Instead of spinning back right, He goes left and kicks it into the corner. Right. Open Kyle Korver.
I mean, that's a good basketball play, though.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not knocking it.
You're not knocking
it. It's just, I just.
Would you rather see him shoot?
Yes.
You would.
But I understand why you want to kick it to the open. See, LeBron really wants to play. If I was LeBron, I would be super jealous of Golden State. Because only just because of the fact of who they have on their team, but the way they play.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at LeBron when he was in Miami, like, with his first, you know, because LeBron is the worst GM in NBA history at this point. But
he's terrible.
Because he's only won, what, three rings with himself.
Yes.
So if you look at his teams, the way he constructed them in Miami.
Yeah.
You know, he got the Chris Bosh, got the Dwayne Wade, and shooters. Right? I'm just snipers on the roof. Mike Miller, Chalmers, like everybody, even Rashard Lewis for a period in time.
Yeah.
So he did the same thing in Cleveland. At least tried to do the same thing in Cleveland. But as you look at Golden State, they're making those open threes that are like.
Well, I mean, yeah, you have Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, two of the best shooters of all time. It's easy to make those shots. And Kevin Durant's not too bad himself. It's just an embarrassment of riches. It really is. With them. And how much praise do you give Kevin Durant? I mean, he did go from Oklahoma City to Golden State, joining a 73-win team, but he came up big last night. We have to give him some sort of props, right?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Kevin Durant's been the best player for the Warriors in the playoffs.
Yes, he's the second best player in the world. He absolutely is. Would you say he's the best player in the world? Are you on that ship?
No, I'm not. I've seen that take circulating around, and it's just head-scratching
to me. Yeah, it blows my mind. It's insane. But, I mean, we take championships into consideration when we debate who's the best. I mean, that's the whole knock on LeBron.
Yeah.
It's his finals record.
It's just completely disingenuous to me to think that the guy who – the original blow of the 3-1 lead.
Yeah, he did it. Durant did it first.
He did it first.
He did do it first.
The original.
Right.
I mean, Doc Rivers is truly the architect of blowing the 3-1 lead.
Designed it perfectly.
But – Kevin Durant went, and he was first. You know, he was like, Golden State, hold on a second. I'd like you to know I started this.
And then Golden State was like, hold my beer, I got this.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's really disingenuous. If we're going to knock LeBron for losing four, but now about to be five finals, if we're going to knock LeBron for that, there's no way KD can be the best player in the world.
No, I agree. To me, like Paul Pierce coming out and saying that is ridiculous to me. I mean, I just think they see the results. And they don't put two and two together, which is, I mean, Paul Pierce is, to me, one of the most underrated players of all time, and I think he's a smart basketball player. He doesn't notice that KD's getting open dunks on fast breaks because Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are on the wing and that defenders are petrified to leave them alone on the three-point line. He doesn't realize that has something to do with KD's efficiency.
I'll say this, because I think why you see that take circulating, while I disagree with it, I'll devil's advocate for just a moment.
Okay.
I think that So when you see Kevin Durant playing, like right now, he's obviously transcendent, right? He's playing at a level, he has a legitimate shot. In fact, I would bet on the fact he'll go 50, 50, 90, 50 from three, 50 from two, and 90 from the free throw line, average 35 points a game
in the finals.
In the finals. That's never been, that's unheard of.
That's absurd. And the Warriors as a team could do that too, which is crazy.
But I think what people are starting to see is the rise of Kevin Durant on a big stage, which in reality, Kevin Durant's always in the finals. Kevin Durant has balls of steel in the finals.
Yeah.
James Harden didn't show up the last time.
Right.
Russ didn't show up the last time as much as he'd like to. Like Kevin Durant playing, Kevin Durant's one of three players to average 30 points a game in his first eight finals games.
Right, and if it wasn't for last year's meltdown, I don't think he would even have that reputation of melting down because he's always been clutch in the playoffs.
But the thing that people are starting to see now, and I was bringing this up today, it reminded me of the Lakers-New Orleans Hornets series in 2008 when Chris Paul...
They won two games.
They won two games.
Yeah.
But Kobe was the main defender for Chris Paul. And was getting dragged left and right, front and center. This isn't torn ACL, Kobe, torn Achilles. This is your 14 Kobe, your 13 Kobe, right?
Yeah.
So he's still balling.
Yeah.
But he's just getting dragged left and right, but he can't keep up. I think right now what we're starting to see is the beginning of LeBron's can't keep up, period.
Well, he's 32 years old. It's going to happen at some point.
Is he the best player in the world? Absolutely.
Right.
Definitively. No doubt. And if you think differently, don't say it out loud because you're wrong.
Shut your mouth!
But I think when you see him in the third quarter and he's sitting on the scorer's table and he's got his head in his hands and they're up by four. And he just looks like he's got... One of my favorite. He looks like he's got the piano on his back.
Yeah, right. You know, I like that. I like that
he looks like he's got the piano on his back. He can't move. And then he gets up and, you know, he goes and continues to play. But I think now we're starting to see the, like, cause, all right, so before LeBron was superhuman, we are now seeing a small chink in the armor.
I think defensively you are, at least. He doesn't look like he can guard Durant. Like, you know how he shut down Derrick Rose a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Offensively, he's still shooting 55% from the floor. He's still getting rebounds. He's still getting assists. I think he's turning the ball over a little bit too much. But let's not forget, this Golden State Warriors team is a good defensive team.
That's why I said it's the beginning.
Just a smidge?
That's why it's the beginning. It's the beginning of the end. Like, I'm not putting no nails in LeBron James' coffin. He might come around and win this thing. Like,
can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Honestly, it's the only reason why I've still given the gentleman sweep.
Right.
Because what if he does? Like, seriously. He's not, like, he's been the best player in the world for the last, unquestionably, 6 years.
Yes, more than that. But,
with no doubt.
Right, no argument.
No argument for the last six years. Like, I counted him out last year, and I only count you out once.
Right.
Before you make me wrong.
You learned your lesson.
Yeah, I learned my lesson. Right.
We got people in the chat. What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones says, people saying Durant is better than LeBron are either really young or don't know basketball.
They're not even, you can't even be that young. Because this is like the first couple years of career. Like, what are you, like born in 2003?
Mr. Regman says, I don't want to see a sweep, but Cavs are looking really dusty out there.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't pay to get, it never pays in sports to get older.
And Demo says, if they get swept, Kevin Love will be the scapegoat. And the trade rumors will pick up once again.
See, I thought they should have traded Kevin Love at the deadline. I would have been fine with them trading Kevin Love at the deadline.
Because Melo's name was floating around. And as a Knick fan, I would love to see that because I cannot wait for the Carmelo Anthony era to be over.
I would have liked to see Carmelo there. But really, the reason why was, and mind you, Kevin Love played a great defensive game in game three. But my thought processes was, because Cleveland, it was always about Golden State, right? We knew at the start, at Halloween of last year, that it was going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the finals. So it's always, if you're Cleveland, it's about Golden State. Who cares if you go 500 down the second half of the year with the All-Star break? Who cares what happens? Your goal is stay healthy. Who cares if LeBron can sit 10 games? You know, 12, 15, whatever.
Yeah.
Just make the playoffs, because we'll make the playoffs and we'll go, what? Then what, 12-1? Right, they went 12-1 before running into this buzzsaw.
Yeah.
So it's not about the East; it's about Golden State.
That's all it is.
And what I've been saying, I was watching the two games and watching the third game, or watching Game Three. I was on. I like to talk on the phone when I'm watching the game.
Okay.
I do. No, I like to, because, like, typically I'm watching the game in the house by myself. Right, so I was calling somebody else who's also watching the game.
Yeah,
you know. So I'm on the phone with my dad, and I'm like, "Look, they're not going to be able. Cleveland can't keep up this pace." Because if you look at halftime, at halftime they were down. Because LeBron came out, they were down. Remind me, maybe 6-8, something like that.
I think they're down 6.
Okay, they're down 6.
Yeah.
But the score was like 66-60 or something like that. Right. Cleveland doesn't have 130 points in them.
Game one, and the same thing. And what makes me crazy, it's like Tyronn Lue comes out and LeBron comes out and they say, we're not going to slow the pace down. Like, how do you not know that you have to do that? How do you not know, as a basketball player? I mean, LeBron James is one of the high IQ players in the league to me. You don't know that you have to limit possessions for the Golden State Warriors in order to beat them? If you're going to do a track meet with them, they're going to smoke you every time.
And I agree with that. I take press conferences with a grain of salt. Of course, that's exactly what we're going to do. Matter of fact,
fake news.
Not even that. But just please call Steve Kerr or Mike Brown and Steph and just let them know, hey, we're going to double at the free throw line. I don't, you know, so I don't really.
You don't want to put too much out
there. I don't
there.
Put too much into
misdirection,
it.
Misdirection, all that good stuff.
But I'll say, I think they did slow the game down, especially towards the end, like the third, like in the second half.
Yeah.
I think they really kind of put us, like, And you notice the way LeBron has been handling the ball more and more and more throughout. And I'm noticing, like, that's kind of their way of. But the thing is, Cleveland plays fast. They shoot threes. What's killing them is they're not rebounding the basketball.
Nope. Tristan Thompson, where you at?
Exactly. They're not rebounding.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the hidden thing that people are missing. That your 5-year, $82 million center is not.
Right.
It's not existent.
It's ridiculous. Him and JaVale McGee have the same stats, and you should not have the same stats of JaVale McGee making $1.8 million for the Golden State Warriors, and you're making $10 million for Cleveland Cavaliers. One thing I kind of want to bring up, though, is the last possession for the Cavs. Well, not the last possession, but Durant hits the three. There's no timeout called, and they just basically run an isolation play for Kyrie Irving. You just said that LeBron, you know, he's touching the ball, he's bringing the ball more often. Why didn't LeBron go and get the ball? Why is it that coaches always resort to isolation in the biggest spots?
Well,
it drives me crazy. I understand Kyrie's a phenomenal one-on-one player, but you don't want the best player in the world touching the ball or at least some type of ball movement to get a good shot?
No, see, but the thing is, if you look at it, Cleveland never really ran offense all day.
It's, I mean, at least we're on a pick-and-roll, though.
But that's what it was. That's what Cleveland's offense was, a pick-and-roll matchup. Like, you look right. at Golden State, they run sets.
They run sets.
They run sets. There's mad screens, right. ball screens,
but,
whatever.
But they had LeBron running a pick and roll on Curry's guy. They would switch to Curry, and he would just, like you said, he has no moves. He just goes at the hoop.
I mean, and that's
or if
the
he's
thing.
Really feeling himself, it's a little spin move.
Yeah, that's the thing. LeBron just dribble.
Or jab.
And he'll come up and just bow.
Yeah,
and
it's just,
it works every
time. But at least do that. Run a screen so you can get Curry on you, get a mismatch.
And that's what they were doing in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That third quarter, after the under four timeout to the end of the quarter, they just went on this, like, emotional kind of visceral run.
Yeah.
And you kind of felt like this is too much too soon.
Yeah.
Like, wait, no, hold on to this until, like, you know, 6 minutes left in the fourth. But just when you see, like, this is why people knock LeBron. This is why people knock LeBron.
And it's a fair criticism. It's a fair knock because Kobe would have gone and got that ball.
But not only that.
Jordan would have got the ball.
Not only that. They're down by five. LeBron gets screened by Draymond and switches to Draymond. KD hits a three.
Right, right.
Okay? So that's defense right there on you, bro. It was like a minute 15 left.
Right.
So boom. He cashes you out. Now you're down two. You go down again. I don't remember what happened on offense for Cleveland. I want to say Kyrie missed a shot. I'm not exactly sure. But Kyrie missed.
Right.
And then LeBron, and then KD got the rebound, comes down the court. And again, LeBron, you're two steps behind the three-point line with a guy shooting 50% from damn three.
In rhythm, too.
In rhythm.
Yeah, and you got to go up and guard him.
And he just stops up and boom. So that's right there.
Yeah.
Right there for all your efficiency, all your 20, the best right. first half in finals history, perhaps.
Right. Yeah.
For all of that, you got cast out twice to end the game.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. And it's a fair criticism of him. I think it is fair. I mean, I'm a huge LeBron supporter, but I do think that, I don't know if it's a mental lapse, but if you see Kevin Durant, like you just said, in rhythm coming up, down two, he can
do it. I think it's just his personality. And I don't like to knock, I'm not trying to say it's a slight on him.
His personality in what way? Like, I mean, is it the killer instinct that
people talk
about?
I just don't think he's a killer. You know, I was sitting there.
But I don't think that. Okay, go ahead.
And I was sitting, I was reading, and this is what made me bring it all back, because I know this is not an original take or anything like that.
Right.
But I was reading some of the LeBron to the West Coast stories earlier today.
Let's talk about that. Do you think LeBron can leave the Cavaliers for a team like the Clippers?
I absolutely think he can and potentially could.
Will?
I don't say will.
Okay.
But I'd say 55%.
Really? Over 50%.
But I'd say my point, let me make this real point real quick. He made the point of he would love to play with D-Wade, Carmelo, and Chris Paul.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, like, and I hate to harken back to, like, the old days, because let's be honest, these are my glory days. I don't remember Jordan. Like, I remember seeing him play, but I didn't grow up with the Jordan story and things like that.
He killed my Knicks, but I couldn't objectively evaluate his game.
But I'm knowing his off the court and knowing his, like, I'm reading these, and I'm just like, man, no true, like, Russell Westbrook would never say this. Like, talking about he loved to play with these guys who were like, oh, anytime you get a chance to play with your best friends and take a pay cut, he'd never say that.
Right. Like, and that's why everyone loves Westbrook.
You know, I'm trying to think, it's like, Westbrook is normally the guy, but like, Iverson would have never said that. Kobe would have never said that.
Right.
And like, those are, when we look at that, and that's like the era we're generally coming from. That's why I think LeBron is more, I don't want to say that Magic Johnson didn't have like a desire to win, but it was more of a Magic Johnson, I'm going to make the best play versus I'm going to
make the play.
I'm going to beat you or we're going to lose.
Right.
You know, and you know, they're just different.
Yep.
Now, I do think LeBron could go because when he first went back to Cleveland, he's joining a roster at that point that I don't know exactly, but couldn't have won more than 30 games the year prior. Right?
Cleveland. Yes.
With Kyrie. Well, they had Kyrie and Tristan Thompson.
Right. Tristan Thompson drafted the same year. Yeah.
Because they had both those lotto picks, right? So they had both the lottery picks. So I'm on LeBron and I'm a free agent. I'm leaving Miami. I see Dwayne Wade is breaking down. Okay. Even at that point in time.
It was the right time to leave.
Dwayne Wade is breaking down.
Right.
Chris Bosh was not, everybody liked to say, the big three. And Chris Bosh was definitely an integral part of the show.
Right.
But he definitely took a smaller role at Miami.
Right, just like Love's taking a smaller role in Cleveland.
But so he when he's thinking about where he wants to go, he's got all these different options. I'm looking at Cleveland. You got two lottery picks there, okay, that are on their rookie deals. So you have two lottery picks on their rookie deals and basically a blank slate and a new coach at the right. time, David Blatt, who had won.
Forgot about Blatt.
Right. No. But the thing is, David Blatt had won like mad championships in Israel and
right.
In European and Asian leagues.
Right.
And had won championships, like was one of the best coaches in the world in terms of winning percentage. So he goes, that's the perfect free agent scenario. But then and also, he's got Dan Gilbert kind of, you know, in the bent over position. Like, you're going to do everything I tell you to do
right.
because you did this. You started this the first time.
Right.
You didn't get me anything the first 7 years I was here.
You're lucky I came back
you're
to you.
You're lucky I came back to yeah. you to get you this ring. Because you writing all this, talking mad on the internet with your Comic Sans letter, talking about you're not winning anything without me. You know, yeah. are you going to win everything without me? And then yeah. all I do in the meantime is go to the finals every single year.
While you have the worst
while
record.
While you have the worst record. While you yeah. picking a lottery twice.
Right.
So he goes to Cleveland. But then if you look at it, he gets his ring, right? And then, but it never really seemed like a good relationship with front office and LeBron.
It still doesn't seem that way to me.
I'm sorry. Even day one,
yeah,
it didn't seem. It kind of
well,
seemed like,
left, like
I'm gonna work here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna come work here.
I'm doing this in Cleveland.
Yeah,
this isn't for you.
Y'all are signing my checks. I'm right. gonna come work here. I'm gonna come play ball, but don't ask me for nothing.
Right.
You know, right. like don't ask me for. I'm gonna come here and do my job. And so then, you know, they win the ring, and LeBron, GM LeBron, the worst GM in the NBA right now.
Him and Doc Rivers, they fighting.
That's fair. But Doc Rivers, at least Doc Rivers can't not re-sign LeBron. So, but you know he forces them to re-sign Tristan Thompson
yeah.
to $15 million a year. When that and don't get me wrong, he was a huge part of the last finals.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably a $10 million deal, $11 million deal.
But when you win a championship,
and he's overpaying, you overpaying yeah. for the ring. I yeah. get that, but I mean, you could have all right. Let it not be Tristan Thompson. You can get similar output that yeah. Tristan Thompson is giving you for $10 million a year.
Agreed.
Right? You paying J.R. Smith. There wasn't a market for J.R. Smith.
Mozgov could have gave him that.
There you go. There wasn't. I mean, in the yeah. first one of this trilogy, Timothy Mozgov was like the second. He led. Oh, I want to say he was the second leading scorer in Cleveland.
Yep.
Now, mind you, that was, you know, Kevin Love's shoulder was on the ground, and Kyrie's
was
knee was, you know,
right.
also on the ground, but. You know, it's just he really hamstrung himself here, and so I can see where you got a team like the Clippers. Like we've talked about it before with Erica, how the Clippers the roster is going to be wildly. They have a lot of expiring deals.
That's going to be an
they
interesting
have space
for the Clippers. Very interesting.
They have space if they choose to blow the whole thing up. Which you know, vote one. You know,
don't do.
If they choose to blow the whole thing, they'll have enough. They'll have cap space for days.
Yeah.
Now you want to go to L.A. Now I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
L.A. right now.
He loves L.A.
They're absolutely terrible.
Yep.
I understand that. But again, look at it where the situation where they are. Look at where Cleveland was when he goes from Miami to Cleveland. Look at where L.A. where the Lakers are moving from potentially Cleveland to L.A. Right. You got a lottery pick. And potentially Lonzo Ball or whoever. Another one in Brandon Ingram.
Right. Paul George wants, you might get Paul George over there.
D'Angelo Russell is still a kid. I know Lakers are soured on him, but.
I'm not sour. I mean, I'm not a Laker fan.
I'm saying Laker fans are soured on him, but he's yeah. still a kid. You got pieces you can move and Julius Randle. I mean, and then not only that, according to everybody who's anybody, which makes absolutely no sense to me, because if I traded for Paul George, you're going to sign here.
Right.
But Paul George is dead set on getting to the Staples Center.
Right.
So. That right there is a nice little – and then you could, and then LeBron can just ride off in years 15, 16, 17, have Paul George be, you know, the main focus of the team.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball be the point – the Mario Chalmers that should have been, you know what I mean? Like, seriously. No, seriously, because Mario Chalmers
could have been – well, Chalmers played okay at some point.
But he was a dog in college.
He hit that game-winning shot.
That's what I'm saying. He was a dog.
Memphis.
Against Derrick Rose. That's the best player in the country. He was a dog in college.
He was.
And so to see Lonzo Ball kind of – I mean –
I don't think he leaves. I think LeBron stays. Chat, what do you guys think? Do you think LeBron stays in Cleveland or do you think he goes to Los Angeles or another team? But I think he stays. I think he knows from leaving Miami and having that backlash, I think he knows what's in store for him if he leaves again, especially seeing what KD did. Even though KD is going to win the championship this year, he's seeing what KD's going through. And I think he's not going to take that chance of leaving late in his prime. I mean, this is the end of LeBron's prime and not winning a championship.
Yeah, like I said, it's the beginning of close to midnight. But
right.
I think if you – so LeBron, why I say he hamstrung himself is because if you look at these deals – they signed all these deals after – all right. So just let's just think about it. Let's try to get into the head of LeBron James, okay?
LeBron, if I'm LeBron James.
All right, so
LeBron.
You go back to Cleveland. All right. You get to the finals.
Get to the finals.
You know, the team you built. Kevin Love, you got the free agent. You got Kevin Love there.
I did it.
He gets hurt in the first round.
Right.
Damn. All right.
Damn it, man.
Kyrie gets hurt in overtime of game one. Right. And you have literally the best losing finals performance of all time.
Get on my back, Cleveland. Right.
They got him on the back, and it didn't work out.
Right.
Losing six. But, I mean, literally, how many times you ever heard the loser be considered MVP?
Never.
Okay, so then.
The guy who guarded, I think Colin said this, Colin Coward. Yes, the guy who guarded you, who held you to 30, whatever it was. But yes, space, go ahead.
Yes, the guy who bothered him enough to hold him to 40 points on 50% shooting was the MVP.
Right.
So you have that. So then you have the second year, right? The year they come back from the deficit, from 3-1 down.
Right, I'm balling.
Right? He's going crazy. Kyrie's going nuts.
Right.
Kevin Love's going nuts.
Down 3-1.
JR scoring 15 points a game on six shots because he's just shooting threes.
That's right.
You know, Tristan Thompson is averaging a double-double. Right? So he's like, you know what? We just went out and beat the best regular season team ever.
After being down 3-1.
And
he's doing,
all of this. All of that. But seriously, though.
No,
think about it. I just won the championship with the team. Let's run it back.
Yes.
Sign JR.
Yes.
Sign Tristan Thompson.
Yes.
Do all this shit.
Yes. Get me Kyle Korver.
Well, that was not.
That's later. Okay,
That's later.
Ahead of myself.
So it's like, re-sign. Let's bring the band back together.
Yes.
Right? Let's sign everybody back up.
Right.
And then they do.
But
then KD goes, ooh, and he says, I'm going to Golden State. And there's no way. I mean, see, I don't like to even call. I called it because I was sitting there watching game like 5 of the Western Conference Finals last year, and I was like, wow, Golden State would be so much better if Kevin Durant was shooting instead of Harrison Barnes. And I texted a couple people that, and they were like, yeah, all right, whatever. But no, I was so. But once that happened,
something clicked.
Something is like. You know, you know, it's like, oh, seriously.
Yeah.
It's like you're playing, you're playing in the eighth grade, you're doing layup lines, and all of a sudden, you know, this eighth grade LeBron James walks in the gym.
You know,
his mom had him late for the game. You think, we might be okay. And then he just walks in. So KD walks into Golden State, and he sees it's like a buzzsaw, and they go back and forth.
Right.
They even get him on Christmas.
They win him Christmas.
So it's like they're going back and forth, but like in his head, he knows. That's why in December, in January, hey, we need help. We need more help. Right.
Kyle Korver, come over.
And this is so mind you. Now he's going back to the front office he already don't like.
Right.
Who already did him dirty for the first 7 years of his career.
Right.
You mean to tell me LeBron, all the ghosts of the ghosts in Chicago he's chasing, you don't think he's pissed that from 18 to 25 he didn't win anything?
Right.
You know, like...
Yeah.
Like, I was... So, he goes back to his... He goes back to David Griffin and all of them, and they're not... You know, I need help.
What can they do realistically?
Nothing.
Exactly.
That's the thing. He made his own bed.
He did.
But
he created this mess.
But you tell me that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, you know, you cheat on your girl and then she's mad at you a year later and she's like, well, why are you mad at me still? It was a year later.
Right.
He made his own bed, but tell him that.
Right.
He signed, he got Tristan Thompson signed long term, he got J.R. Smith signed long term, and now you have absolutely zero flexibility to do anything to the point you're trading first round picks for Kyle Korver and you're signing Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut off the waivers heap.
Yeah.
Like
Dan Williams, how terrible is Dan Williams?
And that is why I said in my head, it would not shock me, not even a little bit, if LeBron left, because he said, I need help, and they went and got him the corpse of Darren Williams and somebody who resembles Kyle Korver with a spray tan. Can we talk about that? That spray tan is absurd.
Let's talk about the spray tan.
Just for a slight bit, because it's ridiculous.
I don't know if Mark is still in the booth or Steven's in the booth. Just Google Kyle Korver and bring up a picture. Maybe we can see it. I don't know if they're in the
matter of fact. Right. I bet if you go on AP Images, Getty Images, do Kyle Korver from last night, and then do Kyle Korver's draft picture.
K O R V E R.
Do Kyle Korver's draft picture in like 2004, whenever you came out.
Yeah. Shout out to, I don't know if Steven's in the booth or Mark's still in the booth. Shout out to you guys holding it down. But yeah, we're gonna compare the spray tans.
Yeah, and you know, I was reading about it, actually reading about like the Kyle Korver trade. See, yeah. Look at that.
Let me see. Which one is he pulling up?
I don't remember when he played for this.
Yeah, which one? I've got just two Sixers ones.
Shout out Mark B. Donica in the booth.
You see the one right there, the Atlanta 25 or 26?
Atlanta 26, this one?
Yeah, see
okay,
that
let
one.
Let me bring it up.
See that? Look at that.
he's bringing it up.
It's going to take a second.
It's going to take some time. Okay. We'll talk. No,
so that pick that they traded for Kyle Korver?
Yeah.
Top 10 protected through 2019. So, no, that makes sense for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, Cleveland's GM wasn't dumb. Because I was sitting there reading, like, all the what happens, like, because Cleveland obviously mortgaged the future for now, right? And most Eastern Conference teams did. Just ask Toronto. They made deadline deals to get their heads kicked in the first round, or second round.
Yeah.
But
for Ibaka.
For Ibaka, just it's an effort and nothing.
Right.
But when you see that Cleveland, that protecting that pick, I feel like they were ready for LeBron to jump ship as well.
Yeah.
Like, they are also prepared.
Well, he left you once. If your girl cheats on you once,
she'll do it again.
You're checking the text messages.
That's what I'm saying.
Where you at, honey? Where you at? You ain't leaving me. You ain't leaving me.
And clearly, LeBron's Brentwood home needs more security.
Yeah.
It could use some occupation, apparently, because people just go up right any old thing on the walls.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me. If LeBron left, I would not be surprised.
Neither would I. All right, one more finals question. I am in the boat of thinking that this Golden State Warriors team is the best team of all time. Do you agree with me?
I mean, best team of my lifetime, obviously.
Okay.
I say this. It's hard to say because I get the 16-0 in the playoffs, but I do still think they'd be 16-0 in the playoffs. Well, excuse me, 15-0 in the playoffs if Kawhi did play, but I don't think they would have beaten the Spurs so handily.
You think it went five?
It could have gone five.
Okay.
Like, no, I don't, like, people want to say Nurkic was hurt for the Blazers or George Hill for. I don't give a damn. Here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't. Yeah. They could. Utah could have John Stockton and they're losing. You know, they're still getting swept.
Yeah.
So, I struggle with that. To me, if you want to say the best team of all. How are you the best team of all time if you weren't better in the regular season than you were last year?
I get that, but there's stipulations. Like, for instance, they are resting players. There was a point where Draymond, Steph, and I think Durant were out at the same time. Durant missed some time.
Yeah, well, Durant missed some time with injury.
So, I mean, it's kind of like...
Players, they get rested, but I mean, still. And even...
I think this team beats any team in NBA history in a seven-game series.
But I don't know if that makes them the best team ever.
How does it not make them the best team
because,
ever?
All right, so I think, like, for example, I think the 85 Bears, their defense, I know this is cross sports, but the 85 Bears defense was historically one of the best ever.
Okay.
They get shredded today. The game's different.
So for their time.
Yeah. So the 96 Bulls, they shot like 15 threes a game.
Yeah, they didn't really shoot threes.
You know what I'm saying? Like 15 threes a game.
Right.
Last night, there were 77 threes combined. Cleveland shot 44 and Golden State shot 33, give or take one or two.
Right.
It's just a different game. Like some of the shots that, like we're over here killing LeBron because he didn't close out 2 feet above the three-point line for Kevin Durant.
Right.
Michael Jordan would have been like, what in the hell is he doing back there? You know what I mean? Like,
Steph Curry would have pulled up at 35 and he'd be like, right. I'll take that. And then he would have watched it go right. in.
Those are shots that when you and I were growing up playing basketball, we were conditioned to let other teams
let
take
him shoot. Let him
and
shoot.
You're not supposed to.
Yep, let him shoot.
So you know, and then, you know, all right, so that's one angle. Then if they could hand check. You mean to tell me Steph Curry is dribbling to the block, back to the 3-point line where he may or may not have double dribbled, back to the layup with 6'8 LeBron on him if he could put a hand on him?
That's true.
You know, if he can,
that's a good point.
But
the Warriors can get physical too. I think people forget that when they do that whole argument. Well, if they played 90s rules, the Warriors can get physical too because Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are two of the best defenders they have in the league right now, and they're doing without hand checking. So imagine how good they'd be if you could hand check. They would be an even better defensive team.
I agree with that. I think that you have a couple players who could play in either. Obviously, Mike could have played on the Warriors.
Right, right.
I think a player with the skill set of Draymond or Clay could have played in Chicago.
Luke Longley.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like, because Clay's a guy, he performs very well in a set. Like Klay would, Klay Thompson would not be as good on Cleveland as he is on Golden State.
Agreed. Agreed.
He performs very well and is very good in a set.
At an ultimate green light.
And in a situation in the 90s, that's all you're running is sets because half the players on your team can't shoot.
Chat, what do you think? Best team ever? Yes or no? I haven't given the chat enough love today. Let me see what they're saying. Oh, Melantid, is that how you say it? Tell me if I'm pronouncing it right. Melantid TV says one of the best, but not the best. So who is the best? Demo, disagree. Oh, they're talking about Stephen A. Smith. Why are they talking about Stephen A. Smith?
I don't know. I know his mom died, so rest in peace to her.
Rest in peace, yes. Durant and his mom MVP. I don't know. The chat is lit right now. It's so lit that I can't even go back into time and know what you guys are talking about and do a show at the same time. Nice.
Suppose that's a first world problem.
Yeah, first. Sam Jones, that's true. 90s rules are a key factor, but what do you mean by that, Sam? What do you mean? All right, let's move on from basketball, even though I don't want to. This is Sports Weekly. We have to talk other sports. And, Erica, we miss you. This is your segment, Big Deal or Nah, where we decide if things are a big deal or nah. Odell Beckham skipping OTAs in search for a contract extension. Is this a big deal, Martin?
It's a big deal to me, in part because Odell Beckham, for all his great catches, has never won anything.
But that's
And I get,
you're going to put that on a wide receiver?
I don't necessarily put it all on a wide receiver, but, like, to me, like, your talent is not at the level, or your talent is, but your production and your output is not necessarily at the level where you're missing OTAs in your third year.
Come on, man. He's had one of the best starts to a wide receiver's career ever.
That's what I'm not knocking. I'll say, go get your money.
Right, right.
I feel you. But it's just, do I think it's a big deal? Yes, I think it's a big deal because especially in a sport like, well, any sport. In any sport, you want your best player to be your most bought-in player. Like, part of the, like, if you listen, and it seems like Odell, if winning was the main focus,
he'd be there. Okay.
He'd be there, and he could be there on the mic. I want a new deal.
Right.
I want a new deal. But give me more money.
But in the meantime,
In the meantime, I'm catching passes from Eli.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think it's a very big deal.
Okay.
But I don't fault him for it. Go get your money.
I'm going to say it's not a big deal because these are voluntary. When he starts missing, like, mandatory, like, minicamp type stuff, then I think it starts to become a big deal because that's when offenses start implementing, like, you know, plays and things like that, and you're missing a lot of the game plan. It's very common for a player in general just to miss these type of things, and I think he does deserve this, and I think that football players, you know, their contracts suck. They really do. Whatever bargaining agreement they have, I mean, they have a very short window to make their money, and I'm not going to fault whoever he is, Odell Beckham or whatever caliber player, for trying to make as much money as possible in that short window.
You know, people, I'm not a UFC fan in the slightest, but people made this about Ronda Rousey when she lost the first time she lost to whoever she lost to. I think Holly Holm?
Yes, Holly.
But whenever she lost, people were saying, like, you know, it's kind of hard to be a movie star and a UFC fighter at the same time.
Can't train, yeah.
Because not only can you not train, it takes a lot of motivation to step into that ring and get your head kicked in, right? So if you're getting, you know, millions from the movies,
why would you
want to go fight for less than that?
And get my head kicked, yeah.
Odell Beckham just signed the richest endorsement deal for a wide receiver in history. $5 million to Nike.
Okay.
He makes significantly more just being Odell Beckham than he does playing wide receiver for the New York Giants.
He's making $1.8 million this year.
And that right there, like, see, so that coupled with the fact he's not at OTAs,
yeah,
it's not about winning.
This is the start of something bigger, a problem that the Giants are gonna have to deal with.
Yeah, it seems like it's not about winning.
Okay,
there, you feel me?
I feel you. Mr. Regman says big deal. He is overrated and whines when the game is not in his favor. How dare you speak of Odell like that? Sam Jones, agree with you, Josh. Thank you, Demo. Big deal. He hasn't accomplished much to demand big money. So we're split. Splat. The chat is split. Chat is split.
Split splat.
Split that.
Split splat chat.
Split splat. All right. Scooter Jeanette, hits 4 home runs in a game.
That's a huge deal.
Huge deal.
There's people who don't hit 10 home runs in a season.
Now, all right. I think it's a big deal, too. I mean, only 17 players in the history of baseball have done it. But I feel like the media doesn't, like, really care about the fact that he did it.
The thing about baseball is a regional sport until the playoffs. That's just the way it is.
Okay.
People care about the team that's in their city. And partly because it's every single day. Like, if you live in L.A., how are you supposed to keep up with what the Phillies are doing?
Right.
You know?
Do you even care? Why do you care?
You're watching the Dodgers. So that's why. Like, but, like, just to, for perspective, four home runs in a game is like scoring 100.
I was about to ask you, like, what's the equivalent? Like, is that Kobe's 81 right there?
It's like Kobe's 81.
Okay.
Like Devin Booker's 70. It's like that. Like, it's not necessarily 100.
Right.
But it's up
five
there.
Would be 100. Well, yeah, five or six. I mean, I don't think it's ever been five. Has it been five home runs?
I don't know.
Chad, has there been five home runs in a baseball game, MLB game? I don't know if there has been.
You're telling me there's been 17 people in the history of baseball to hit four in a game?
Right.
I'll go out on a limb and say if it is five, the list is less than five players.
I agree. Yeah, it's a big deal. What is a football equivalent of that? Six touchdowns from a wide receiver?
It would have to be yards and touchdowns.
So like a quarterback stat?
No, it would have to be. That has to be like what? Like probably something stupid. Like you have to. You know what it has to be? It has to be like Randy, like something like 15 catches, 350 with like four scores.
I'm trying to do the fantasy points in my head.
It'd be off the chart.
That's like 60-something.
But, I mean, it had to be something
PPR.
Like those numbers. It had to be like Randy Moss at Marshall numbers. You know, like where he's just – or like Corey Davis at Western Michigan. Watch out. That's my early pick for Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Corey Davis from Tennessee Titans.
Mariota.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was on this kid his freshman year at Western Michigan. He played University of Michigan, which I went to.
And you saw him and you were like –
He was the best player on – when Michigan was on defense, he was the best player on the field as a freshman.
Damn. Look at that. Scout. You should scout. Let's see what the chat's saying. Yes, the media never hypes up baseball for good reason, though, says Demo. Mr. Eggman says, big deal. Keep breaking them car windows. Sam Jones says, y'all go talk about Derek Fisher. We should talk about Derek Fisher. It's on the rundown, but let's get to that. And is Jimbo in the booth gone? Dima, no, Jimbo in the booth is off. But we do have Mark B. Donica, ladies and gentlemen, who is very serviceable, who is one of the best engineers here at AfterBuzz TV and on X-Pac 12360. Mark Donica, how are you doing today? Is this still Mark?
No, this is Steve.
It is now Steve. They switched on us. It's the switcheroo. I'm embarrassed.
It's all right.
Mark
Steve's a great guy.
All right, Steve is a great guy.
Hey.
Steve doesn't host here, but Steve, I, for my money, and don't tell any other AfterBuzz engineer this, I think Steve is the best engineer that we have.
There you go. I mean, you saw the way he pulled up the Kyle Korver pictures.
I said one of the
that
best.
That was smoother than Kyrie to the lane.
I said one of the best for Mark, and I said that Steve is the Jordan of AfterBuzz.
How about that?
So too kind.
There you go.
Yeah, so Derek Fisher gets in a car accident, flips a car over.
You know, it's crazy now that I live out here.
Yeah.
I know exactly where it was. I drive through that exchange all the time.
I mean, this has nothing to do with sports, but do you watch SNL? Like, you know that Californian skit? Please tell me you know that.
I don't watch that.
We got to skip it then. But it's an SNL skit where they just basically play, like, typical Californians. Like, you take the five to the – and they just start naming freeways. But that's what it reminded me of.
No, but, yeah, that was wild.
Is that a big deal? That's a big deal. He could almost died.
Yeah, it's a big deal. He was able to walk away. Good for him. Good for his girlfriend. But the wild – did you see this morning I saw that the car is registered to Matt Barnes?
Yes! More drama.
It's just messy, man.
This is awesome.
That just goes to show you, no matter how much money you have, people just do the same stuff everywhere. Like, this is an episode of Jerry Springer, or Cheaters, or Maury, or something like that. It's just with millionaires.
Yeah.
Like, they do this in, like, the same way they do this in trailer parks. Yeah,
this was, like, the end of season two. This is the cliffhanger.
That's all it is.
Season three starts next basketball season.
Yeah, season three starts. It'll start next season with the impending trial.
Yeah, yep. This is exactly how season two ended.
And the insurance repairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wednesday. Matt, done with the finals, has to go to Allstate to get his claim covered.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. All right. Big deal or not, Phil Mickelson skipping the U.S. Open to attend daughter's high school graduation. I don't think it's a big deal, but some people are making it a big deal because sports are everything to some people. What do you think?
It's his high school. It's his daughter's graduation.
Come on. I know the U.S. Open is one of the most prestigious tournaments in golf, but I mean, family first.
There'll be another U.S. Open next year.
Exactly.
If his daughter's graduating from high school again next year, that's a problem. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Twice.
If she's graduating from high school again next year, now that's a big deal.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
It's not going to happen because she's the valedictorian.
Well, there you have it.
And she's giving a speech. Your daughter's giving a speech at high school graduation.
Yeah, you got to go.
You have to go.
You got to go.
Come on, people. Back off. What's the chat saying?
And plus, it's like he's Phil Mickelson. Like,
exactly.
I
mean,
it's US, I get it's the US Open, but it's like
he did enough.
It's not a team sport,
right?
Yeah, it's not like other people are depending on him.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. I agree with you. It's not a team sport. Demo, nah. Who watches the US Open? A lot of people, Demo. Just not us. No one who watches Black Hollywood Live. Wow. I went there.
You did. I watched a lot of Tiger Woods.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
Red shirt Tiger, you couldn't miss him on a Sunday.
Stop lying.
You couldn't, when I was a kid, you couldn't miss him. Me and my dad used to watch Tiger all the time.
I did not watch Tiger Woods. I appreciate his greatness, but I didn't watch Tiger Woods.
Tiger at Augusta with the black hat on, with the TW on it. Boy, when Tiger would do like this, it was over. When Tiger hit him like this right here,
you knew it was going down.
You knew it was
he was singing that putt even if he was in the sand.
Red shirt Tiger with this, with the putter. He had a putter like this in his hand. He had a putter in his hand. But you knew right then.
Right.
That's like when LeBron does the spin move.
Yeah.
It's coming, baby.
Oh, man. All right. In case you missed it, Steve, there's a video up there, so you can pull the video up. I saw Mark, who did engineer our show, Sam Jones. I'm not lying about that. Steve, can you confirm for Sam Jones that Mark did start engineering our show before you hopped on?
Confirmed.
Thank you very much. All right. So this video is Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan get into a scuffle at a bar in Nashville. Steve, play that video for us.
First time I've seen this.
This is the first time. This is hilarious. Someone Snapchat it.
I love it. It's got to be a Snap.
Get some. Oh. What'd you say? What'd you say about my mama?
Oh, God.
Oh.
You know, Rob should cut his hair if he knows these stuff like
gonna
this.
Rob's never going to cut his hair. They do not care about appearance.
So is this it?
I think it's just a loop right here. We'll keep watching the loop one more time. Watch the loop one more time, Steve. Now, Rex.
Oh. Hello.
Hey.
Is Rex in the green there? Is that Rex?
Damn, I'm blind. I can't.
You know Rex had the lap band, so you know he's lost a ton of weight.
No, Rex is it. Rob's in the purple.
I know Rob's in the purple.
And then Rex is in like a grayish shirt in the right, to the far right.
Okay, because Rob Ryan looks strongly like hold me back guy, because he has a hand on whoever he's touching. He reached out and got him, and he's like green shirt.
Yeah,
grab my arm, hold me back.
But Rex is the one being brought up on assault charges.
Really?
Yeah, so I guess Rex made the first move.
You know, what?
Do you think you and I can take Rex and Rob? Absolutely.
Dude, I don't.
Guys, you think we can take Rex and Rob, right?
I don't know, man.
You don't think so?
See, Rob Ryan, Rob Ryan's always been a bad defensive coordinator.
He looks like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
especially with that purple shirt on.
Yeah.
No, but I've heard a lot of stories from when Rob Ryan was the defensive coordinator in New Orleans. How he would go out to bars and not do anything like this, but he would go out like buy a round for the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if the team lost, you know, he'd go out and like buy a round, random round for the bar or whatever. And I think a guy like that,
Steve zooming in. See, look at Steve's the GOAT. See, the GOAT, that's what I'm saying. Telling you, no engineer does this. The GOAT.
You're see,
the GOAT,
a guy Steve. Like this, a guy who's always buying other people's drinks, he's got to be ready to hold his own in a bar.
Yes.
So I feel like Rob at least would be ready to. And you can't have long hair like that for as long as he's had it and not be ready to go.
You're right. You're sending a message out to the world. I'm ready to go.
You see this haircut?
Right, look at this.
Look, you see this? Don't mess with me.
Sam, I just got a haircut.
I don't want smoke.
This is the non-confrontational haircut.
You bring that over to the ponytail brothers over there in the corner.
That's a nice haircut, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And finally, in case you missed it, Packer cornerback, is it Devon? Yeah, I'm going to say that. House misses flight from Green Bay to Minnesota. And he tweets out, you know, can anybody drive me to Green Bay? Any Packer fans in Minnesota want to drive me to Green Bay? And two fans responded, Mike and Chad Johnson. They picked him up from Minnesota, and they drove him all the way to Green Bay. And House treated them to a tour of Lambeau Field. They took some pictures. I just think that's a very cool story.
It is, but I just, you know, I just wonder. It makes me wonder, like, I think I'm a huge sports fan.
Right.
But, like, no.
I don't know you.
No.
I don't know you.
Even if I did know you.
Right, right.
My best friend could miss a flight from Green Bay from Minnesota to Green Bay. And I'm not driving to Green Bay.
Unless you.
Oh, you're going to have to pay me. Did you hear about my man's who took the Uber to Buffalo?
I heard about that, yeah.
It's like, what are we doing here? How are these NFL players just... You know what? When you got guys taking Uber, I take it back. I'm going a whole different route. You got guys taking Uber from wherever the hell to Buffalo, New York.
Right.
You got guys tweeting out, catching rides with random people named Chad Johnson. I'm assuming it wasn't wide receiver Chad Johnson.
No, it wasn't. It definitely was not.
Random people named Chad Johnson and Mike Johnson doing all this to get to OTAs, and Odell Beckham can't show up?
Right.
Odell Beckham.
That's commitment right there.
He's too busy out here working out with Chris Carter and throwing footballs to Johnny Manziel to go to the OTAs? No.
All right, so what I'm doing right now, I am Googling how far Minnesota is. Let's just say Minnesota. Minneapolis, Minnesota. How far that drive is.
Well, you got to go under the lakes. I do well in geography.
So from the airport, let's just say Lambeau Field. So from the airport to Lambeau Field.
That's at least 300 miles.
Really? Let me say green. I'll just put green. Here you go. MapQuest, where you at? This segment of the show is sponsored by MapQuest. 4 hours and 28 minutes, 279 miles. I'm charging. How much per mile am I charging? How much per mile are you charging?
You're buying me a new car.
You're buying a new car. Or you're just paying for an oil change and a tune-up.
You got to get your oil changed on the way there.
Right. And back.
Right.
And back.
That's the other thing. You got to drive back. What are you thinking, Mike and Chad?
Right.
Mike and Chad.
You're paying for a hotel room at least.
Mike and Chad. That's why, you know what? I don't get it.
Right.
Where do you have the time, Mike and Chad,
right,
to drive all the way to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and all the way back? Like, there's not even anything to see in between the Minnesota airport and Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Now, is that just being a diehard fan or a diehard idiot?
That's a diehard idiot. That's an idiot. Or you know what? Oh, if man. He really did it, like, if he really was on the goodness of his heart,
right,
like, then you're a great Samaritan, you know, you'll be first in line in heaven. But if you just did this because, you know, you want to see the Packers, you know, you think this is going to have an effect on week one.
Like, you're part of the team.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, oh, I got Devon House to practice that one time. That's why he made that interception.
That's right. I did it. That was me and my brother. Yeah, I'm looking at the drive right now. It's a straight drive through the whole state of Wisconsin. Not doing that. Definitely not doing that.
No, that's too, no.
270
amount. No, not a chance.
No. All right, well, before we leave, prediction for game four NBA Finals, who you got? You think they're sweeping?
Yeah, man, this is how I know Cleveland's going to win, because I'm going to pick Golden State to sweep them. So, LeBron will, this is how it always works.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I said Cavs in seven. So, of course, I said Cavs in six to start the series. So, of course, it's going like this.
Right. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
The Cavs in seven?
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Neither can I.
I can't. I can't. Like, in today's world, sometimes you have to believe your eyes and then you have to believe your mind.
Right.
I believe my mind in this one. It can't happen. Yeah. Like, it can't.
Can't happen. I think the Warriors sweep. Chat, thank you for joining us. Sam Jones, Texas has its fair share of Good Samaritans, so I'm guessing that Sam Jones is saying that A, he's from Texas, and B, that there are nice people in Texas who will make that drive.
Have you driven through Texas before?
I've never been in Texas.
I tell you what, you want to make the drive, you drive from like Dallas to here? Oh, man. Do you know how much nothing there is there? The speed limit is 90 miles an hour.
Get out of here in Texas.
85, 90, ask Sam.
Sam, what's the speed limit in Texas? I know.
Through West Texas, going through towards Phoenix. I'll tell you.
That's
85, 90 miles an hour.
It's 55 in New York from where I'm from, and then it's like 60 in New Jersey, which I thought was high. And then I drove out to Indianapolis one time where it was 70, and I was freaking out. I was like, oh, my God, it's 70. So
it's been 70 in Michigan, too.
Demo says, sweep. Mel, I can't pronounce your name. I don't know how to pronounce it. I want to call you MTV. MTV says sweep. I think everyone's saying sweep. Poor Cavs.
No, I don't feel bad for them.
Because LeBron bought this on to himself.
Yes.
You're right.
You and like if KD was going and KD was shooting 1-for-11 in the final, I wouldn't feel bad for him either.
Right.
Like, you made this bet.
Right.
But I will say, in Durant's defense, everybody want to call him all these names?
Right.
He just locked up finals MVP.
Oh, like, yeah. Absolutely.
He earned the check.
He did. He absolutely
so,
did.
So. If you got beef with that, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our show, guys. Listen, tonight on AfterBuzz at 10 o'clock, we're going to be reviewing the NBA Finals again. Sadly, Martin won't be there.
I will not.
I wish you were.
I got to go to bed.
But 10 o'clock, tune into AfterBuzz TV. It will be me, Christine Alexis.
And somebody else.
D'Angelo. Jesse Zahner and Jill Monroe will be breaking down Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Join us in the live chat. That live chat is popping as well. I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Josh_Rodriguez_. Ladies and gentlemen, please download the Anchor app. When you download the Anchor app, go to the sports section. We are featured in the sports section. 10-minute drill. You can call in if you want to hear me ramble about sports a little more. That's where you can find me. Martin.
I'm on Twitter at _MartinWeiss, and that's where you can find just my random musings on life in general.
That's right.
I don't really tweet about sports, but when I do tweet, I saw a tweet today that brunch was like killing like gentrification or something like that.
Brunch was killing.
No, brunch was like promoting gentrification. And I said, if loving brunch is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Wait. How?
I think the
if loving brunch is wrong, I don't want to be right.
We only have a couple minutes here. It was like seven scrolls through the iPhone, so yeah. I only got through half of it.
That's interesting. All right. Well, you can catch us next Thursday, Sports Weekly. Erica's gonna be gone again. I think Raina's gonna be gone again, and you're gonna be gone.
I will.
Crap! It might just be me. And you! So stay tuned. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram, @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I don't know.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.